Let's pray. May you open our hearts now, O Lord, as your word is open before us. Holy Spirit, we pray that you may cause your word to bear its proper fruit in our lives. For Jesus' sake. Amen. We're now considering the third beatitude. There are about eight of them. And our text is going to be from the Old Testament, from Psalm chapter 37, which I read earlier. But we are considering verse 5 of Matthew chapter 5. That's where we are in our progression, in our study of the Beatitudes. We've looked at verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Last week we began studying verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And you remember I said we'll discuss this, we'll study this in two parts. There's a particular reason for that. I think so far this is the hardest one to apply in our daily lives, in our practical lives. It's easy, or easier, I should say, to come to terms and understand and accept the fact that we are poor in spirit, and to mourn as a result of that. But it's much harder to get to the third step of becoming actually meek. The reason is, the first two really only have to deal with ourselves. You only need to acknowledge that to yourselves. Others are not involved in the process. It's just you and God. But because of our ego, because of the gravity of sin, we find it so hard to really practice what meekness teaches us. Because meekness opens our hearts up to others and makes us vulnerable and allows others to speak things into our lives, about our lives, that may not necessarily be complimentary. And we are taught to be at peace with that. And that is hard. I find it hard. I find it easy to acknowledge my own weaknesses. I don't find it easy to accept other people pointing out my weaknesses. But see, a man or a woman of God is not only taught but expected to be like this. Christ is giving us here not things that will qualify us to become Christians, but rather he's talking about things that should characterize our lives because we are Christians. Are we together? Christ is not giving us a list of things that will qualify us to become Christians. No, he's not doing that. Rather, he's giving us a description. Things that should characterize our lives because we are Christians. And so, what that means is that no one is exempt from this. Every Christian, everyone who calls himself or herself a disciple of Christ, will be characterized by poverty of the spirit, mourning, and we talked about what that means, meekness, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, being merciful, being pure in heart, being a peacemaker, allowing persecution to come into their lives for the sake of righteousness. So, each one of us then has to ask himself or herself the question, is this true about me?
Can people who know me well truly say, he is a meek man, she is a meek woman? No one is exempt. Let me just say point one other thing before we go to Psalm 37. I don't want you to sit there and be thinking, well, but I'm not naturally like that. That's not my nature. I'm not born like that. See, Christ is not talking about natural qualities here. Nobody is instinctively poor in the spirit, or feels instinctively poor in the spirit. Nobody is instinctively willing to accept that. It has to be by the power of the Spirit. A man, a natural man, will not acknowledge that he is poor in the Spirit. A natural man will not mourn for the sins in his life or in the life of others. And a natural man cannot be meek. And so, I'm pointing that fact out to us and presenting it before us as we consider this, so that none of us begins to say, well, but God hasn't made me that way. Or other people were born like that, and therefore it's okay for them to be like that. No, each one of us is to submit himself, herself, to the authority of the Word of God. We must allow the searching light of the Word of God to illumine in our hearts, to shine in our hearts, and expose those areas where we lack. And then we must cry out to God for help if we find that we are lacking. All right, let's turn to Psalm 37. In Psalm chapter 37, verse 11, there's a very interesting verse. And when this was first brought to my attention, I thought, was Jesus quoting Psalm 37, verse 11, in the Beatitudes? Because verse 11 says, the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. When you look at verse 22 also of Psalm 37, it says, for those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. And then verse 34 of Psalm 37 reads as follows, wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exhort you to inherit the land. You will look on when the wicked are cut off. And that got me thinking, perhaps we need to pay a closer attention to Psalm 37 and see what it teaches us about meekness, about the man or woman who is meek. Last week, in trying to define meekness, I said something like, it's total authority under control. Total authority under control. And I don't know how you think about that. I hope you find that helpful. But another definition also, another way perhaps that we could also define meekness would be, or a meek person, would be someone who is content to have the Lord as the only source of his happiness. A meek person is someone who is content to have the Lord as the only source of his happiness. I like that definition better. The other one is too good and helpful, and it's true, practically. But also I think understanding the fact that the Lord is and should be the only source of happiness for the Christians is very helpful. And I think that helps me then to put meekness in perspective and to really begin to measure my own life and to see whether, to examine my own life and see whether I am actually meek. What makes you happy? What is the source of your happiness? What determines whether you are happy or not? What gets you going? What keeps you going? What gets you up in the morning? When you are having a bad day, what keeps you going? When others are saying bad things to you, when somebody steps on your toe, what keeps you going at the time? Is it because you are content in the Lord? Are you able to, on the strength of that, to go forward? Because you know that your happiness does not depend on what others say or at what others do to you. It does not depend on your circumstances, but rather it depends on the Lord, who is the unchanging one. One who has given himself to you and committed himself to you once and for all through Christ. Is that what is true about you? Psalm 37 begins with these words. Listen. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious because of wrongdoers. What kind of man is that? How is that possible? David, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wouldn't write this if it wasn't a problem for God's people to fret when other people do evil things toward them. To not be envious of wrongdoers. It says, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. The point is, don't be bothered by that. Don't be bothered by the evildoers. Don't be bothered by what they do to you or what they are. Because though they may look better in this life, though things may seem to be going for them, that will only be for a moment. He says, they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. So I see there at least one characteristic of a man or a woman who is meek. He doesn't fret. That's the first characteristic I see there of a meek person. No fretting. Is that you? See, the word of God is speaking clearly to us. Okay, let's move on. Second characteristic that I see from this text of a man or woman who is meek is a man that and a woman who trusts in the Lord. So he doesn't fret, but rather trusts in the Lord. Verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Befriend faithfulness, or feed on faithfulness. And it's impossible to be in a difficult situation, in a trying situation, and remain faithful without meekness. Meekness gives us something, the power, the ability, by the grace of God, to remain faithful, to remain trusting in the Lord in the face of difficulty, when things are not going our way, in the big things and in the small things. We trust in the Lord and we keep doing that which is good. And we remind ourselves that it's always right to do the right thing, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of who is involved. So a meek person will be one who has committed himself, who has resolved to trust in the Lord, has thrown himself totally in the hands of the Lord. And he trusts the Lord as the only and the ultimate source of his or her happiness. Blessed are the meek. How happy are the meek, we could say. Verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. And there we find a third characteristic of a man or a woman who is meek. He or she is a person who delights in the Lord. Who delights in the Lord. And the Lord is the ultimate source of his or her delight. And is that person is at peace, content, at peace with God, and therefore having the peace of God in their lives. And remember last week, I think I was pointing out that you cannot have the peace of God if you are not also at peace with God. And the man or woman who is at peace with God will take great delight in the Lord because he or she understands what the relationship means. There is a unique, special relationship of love and grace. And the Lord is his benefactor. The Lord gives him everything. The Lord is everything to this man. And he delights in the Lord, not for the sake of what he will get from the Lord, but because of who the Lord is in himself. Are we together? He delights himself in the Lord, not because of what he will get from the Lord, but because of who the Lord is in himself. But as a result of that, the Lord is then pleased to bless that person. That's why the psalmist there writes, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will grant you or give you the desires of your heart. In other words, He will meet every desire of your heart. He will give you the satisfaction you need. He will give you contentment. He will give you what your soul and your life needs. And you may be puzzled by that, or you may find that to be strange, because perhaps in your own experience you think, well, I haven't received everything I desire. And I know many godly people who are delighting themselves in the Lord, but they don't have everything they desire. They're still lacking this and the other thing. What's this all about? What it means is, I think what we also find in John 15 verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be granted to you. As you delight yourself in the Lord, the Lord's desires begin to become your desires. As you delight yourself in the Lord, you are changed and you begin to desire, you begin to want the things that God wants for you. And there you have peace and content. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Do you see that? Shall inherit the land. Now in the Old Testament terms, maybe I'll talk about this a little bit later, but while it's on my mind, let me just pause and say something about the land. You know, how God promised the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, He gave them the promise of the land, this land of peace flowing with milk and honey, where they will have peace among themselves, around them, and they'll have everything they needed provided to them. And of course, as we now know, that was only to point us to the greater reality of heaven, where we will have peace eternally, where we will have all of our needs fulfilled in Christ before the Lord. The Lord God will dwell in the presence of His people Himself. But nevertheless, there is also a temporal fulfillment of this promise. That while we are here on earth as the children of God, waiting for the ultimate and final fulfillment of this, we can experience the Lord's blessing, the Lord's peace, and true contentment in our souls. So, when Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth," understand that to mean at least two things. Understand this at two levels, at a temporal level and also at an eternal level. At a temporal level, the man or woman of God who is meek and is following Christ, not fretting, delighting themselves in the Lord, trusting in Him, you'll find that their lives will be marked by a special measure, a certain measure of blessedness in their souls. Maybe not so much on the outside, although that is also often the case. But in their souls, the posture of their hearts, their lives will be radiating with this peace, with this joy, this contentment that is only true of those who are in Christ. A divine contentment, a divine peace, a divine restness. They're resting in the Lord. And God blesses them here and also in the life to come. And you see this man or woman, always joyful in the Lord, no matter what they're going through. And you wonder, how is it possible? There's something going on inside. They have got a peace of God that is flowing in their hearts like a river that cannot be stopped from flowing. And the more this man depends on God, rests on God, trusts in Him, delighting in Him, the more this peace, the more his life is marked by this kind of peace. But there is a fourth thing I want to look at, and then we'll just wrap up. Not only is this person not fretting, not only is this person trusting in the Lord, not only is this person delighting himself in the Lord, but this person is waiting upon the Lord. This person is waiting upon the Lord. If you look at verse 5 to verse 9, which I just read a few moments ago. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. So this man is waiting for the Lord in a number of ways. Specifically here, he's waiting for his vindication on the day of judgment. He's waiting for the Lord to deliver justice for him. In other words, he's not a man who is seeking vengeance. Others may have done bad things to him, but he takes the hits as they come, and he endures patiently, because his hope is in the Lord, his delight is in the Lord, and he's waiting on the Lord that at his appointed time he will avenge for him. He's waiting on the Lord to bring about his purposes in his life. And so he refrains from anger when he's provoked, when he's stepped on, when somebody steps on his toe. And sometimes people will actually deliberately come and poke you. How do you react? And I'm thinking about James chapter 1. In this regard. James chapter 1 verse 18. We went through the gospel, the book of James a while ago. And I remember at that time reading James chapter 1. And thinking, sorry, it's verse 21. Let me read from verse 19 to 21. All right. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of that God requires. That is the verse I was thinking about. Verse 20. And I remember the time we were going through the gospel of the book of James. Reading that verse, and I thought, this is very serious. But how easy it is for me to get angry and think that I'm actually doing the right thing. But the Bible says the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. And so the meek man, understanding that, entrusts himself to the Lord as Jesus did. You remember? When he was reviled, he did not revile in return, but continued to entrust himself to the Lord. And so this meek man is doing that, waiting upon the Lord to vindicate him, to avenge for him, which is totally contrary to what human nature wants to do. Again, let me point out here, no one can do this apart from the Spirit of God. This must be worked out in our lives by the Spirit of God. If you try to do it on your own, you will not go very far. In fact, you're only setting up yourself for frustration. Because it won't be very long before you fail. And when you read Galatians chapter 5, you understand that indeed the Holy Spirit must be involved in this. Because when we read of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 22, we read, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Gentleness could be equated with meekness. But I think the entirety of the fruit of the Spirit really does a very good job characterizing a person who is meek. This person is full of love, is full of peace, full of joy, full of self-control. He suppresses his sinful instincts, we could say. He's gentle in dealing with others. Is patiently waiting upon the Lord. And the Bible says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not get tired. So I'm encouraged to see this. I'm encouraged because I know I need it. And I'm encouraged also because the Lord does not leave us to work these things out on our own. The Lord who commands these things, he also works these things in us. That is really why Jesus came into this world. He came because he understood that we are helpless. We are poor. We cannot save ourselves. And that work of salvation, it was finished on the cross. But that work is still going on. Because you and I are still yet to be restored to that perfect image of Christ. We're still yet to be saved from ourselves, from our egos, from our pride, from our selfishness, from everything that is against what the Lord requires in our lives. So then, as we as we hear this message, as you hear this message, that your response should not be, all right, thank you very much for that message. I'm going to go into this week and try a little bit harder. That should not be your first response. Rather, your response should be, Lord, help me. Because I have seen the areas where I am lacking in my life. Yes, I ought to be feeling the poverty of the Spirit inside me, but I don't as much as I should. I should be mourning for my sins and grieving because they grieve you, but I'm sorry that I don't grieve and mourn over my sins as much as I should do. Lord, I understand that my life should be characterized by meekness, but I'm too aware of the fact that that's not the case in my life. Lord, help me. I want to be like this person. I want what you have done in my life through Christ, what you've done for me, to really show in my life, to bear fruit in my life. I want the world to see me as one of yours. So God, transform my life. Because I cannot do it. I cannot pull it off on my own. And then you rest on Him. You keep throwing yourselves at His feet, in His arms, at the foot of the cross. You keep praying, Lord, pour out more of your Spirit in me. Fill me with your Spirit. Because as that happens, as you are more filled with more and more of the Spirit, then you are becoming less and less in yourself. Right? There's like a displacement that takes place. You know, when you hold a glass of water, or a jar like this. Right? What's in here? Some people can say it's empty. No, it's not empty. There is air in it. When you pour water in it, what happens? The air is displaced as the cup is filled up. The same thing happens with us spiritually. As the Holy Spirit is filling more and more of our lives, the sin that still remains in us gets displaced more and more. Until we are filled to overflowing. And that's what we all should be desiring and praying for. And while we may not have that in full, in totality here on earth, it will be perfected in glory. And that's what keeps me going. Because I know there is a day that is coming when I shall be presented before God totally perfect in Christ. Because He will have worked out all that I need to be in Him by His Spirit. So be encouraged to rest more on Him, lean more on Christ, and less on yourself. Amen. Let us pray. We bless your name, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you that when your word comes to us, it comes to accomplish a specific purpose in our lives. That we may be the kind of people that you want us to be. That we may be transformed after the likeness of Christ. Lord, we have seen how much we fail. So we commit ourselves to you and ask that you forgive us our sins. And that you will help each one of us, O God, as we move on the rest of the journey towards home, to cry out to you, O God, help me. And may we do so with sincerity and with confidence that you will hear the prayers of your people and answer accordingly, according to your will and for the glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.